The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is an attack warning. Repeat, this is an attack warning.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, well then the stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm, don't take no style. Got a thirst for killing.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. This episode is brought to you by Joey's Pizza in Depew. Just opened up a second location on Broadway. Make sure you check them out. It's pretty much the cheesiest pizza in all of Buffalo.
And with that, what is going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to the NFL season. It's here. It's here to stay. Well, I mean, until February, I guess. Until we're all depressed again. But anyway, we got time for that. DJ, week one, we ready for this shit?
Yes, sir. Week one, got the final depth chart today.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. So we'll definitely touch on that. Some injuries in the conference.
Yep.
Touch on that. But yeah, we're ready to go. It's back. Football's back.
Dana Beer's back.
Dana Beer's back. Shout out Dana Beer's.
Always.
But yeah, let's we can dive right in the preview episode of week one.
All right, sweet. Where do you want to start? We didn't really script this at all.
No. The depth chart.
Okay.
The depth chart.
You can do that.
There's some surprises on there.
You want to start with the big one?
Yeah.
We kind of touched on it last week.
Yep, CB2. Christian Benford is getting the nod there. But me and you talked about how it's not necessarily – how it's going to play out, right? It's going to be a rotation, or it's going to be a coverage thing, or who,
yeah,
you know, whoever the matchup is, it's a matchup thing. I think there's going to be a lot of people looking into that heavily, as they kind of should, because then there's rumors swirling that, you know, Kaiir is going to be inactive against the Jets, and that's a pretty big deal. So it's a situation to monitor, but for right now, I think, you know, Christian Benford, obviously the best guy of the bunch, clearly, at least Bean and McDermott thought so.
I mean, you have to ask the question, why is last year's first round pick not even good enough to wear a uniform on week one of the season?
Yeah, that is very, very, very surprising.
I mean, I have no reason to call the guy a bust. I mean, we saw him perform in crucial games last year.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, McDermott trusted him enough to put him in the playoffs in key situations, yeah. and he delivered. So, it's a head scratcher. But I mean, we're not gonna sit here and talk trash about Christian Benford either. You know,
no,
he's been playing pretty well when called upon, too. At least I think so.
I mean, we did touch on it last week when we were like, with Kaiir, he had to play last year in situations where Trey White wasn't there for most of the season. Then Trey White was coming back, and Trey wasn't his usual 100% self. So there was a lot of adapting going on from his end of that, like Trey White injury as well. But now that you would think that Trey's had another offseason to heal, and we can get into if he's going to be his old self later, but you would think that this would be the perfect opportunity for Kaiir to thrive as the true corner two alongside what should be all pro, or at least Pro Bowl caliber, Trey White.
Yeah, I think that's the head scratcher too, is Trey White. Is Trey White going to bounce back? We've talked about that before. he needs to bounce back. He needs to be that guy, because we talked about the schedule earlier today that it's not going to get easy even from the start. There's no rest for Wicked on that defense. I mean, I think there's a lot of faith in Hyde and Poyer, as there should be. But they're also aging safeties.
Coming off injuries, both of them.
Yeah. One of them where we thought maybe he wouldn't come back. You know, Hyde.
Yeah.
Was a neck thing like Aaron Williams.
It's not a small thing to look at.
Yeah. And then you're hoping you can get pressure to the quarterback with that line. And it should be able to. But then you also have Terrell Bernard in the middle. I think he's a pretty athletic guy, fast, a little undersized probably for a middle linebacker. But then you're also, with that, is then you're putting your faith in Milano to cover up for maybe the mistakes or slack that Bernard might have.
Another key aging defender that you're that coming off of, you know, who has injury history that you're just really banking on. And now he used to have a counterpart that people here were very on and off with. People had very strong opinions on Tremaine Edmonds when he was here. But one thing you can't argue is I think this is the complete opposite of his current replacement as far as size and athleticism goes. Like,
yeah,
and that's going to, I think even for Milano, that's going to take some getting used to of having a complete opposite type of specimen next to you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they Milano and Edmonds fed off each other quite a bit. So now, you know, is Milano going to have that same kind of trust or language or chemistry?
Yeah.
With Bernard, clearly they must think something's there. Again, named starter today on the depth chart. Probably another thing that might be a rotational thing, or you know, see who's playing better at the time. But I don't hate the move putting him there. I think gotta watch too. At some point, will be Dorian Williams.
Yes, absolutely.
He might get some if he gets some time in there. He might excel at that position. I think he's a guy that you know could be a guy that ends up taking over that job at some point. But
I mean, it's an important spot because in this nickel defense, you're usually only seeing two linebackers in at a time for the most part. So if you have a hard time stopping the run, or if guys can't step up to put pressure in the middle, or like I said, stop the run, it could be a long day for defenses. And if, you know, the run game is a problem and time of possession is a problem, then the secondary suffers from that. And we're already talking about lack of corner depth.
Yeah.
If Trey's not himself. So we could be looking at some issues on defense already. If the linebacker position doesn't step up, if we have shortage in the secondary, and if pressure is an issue without Vaughn.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to find out real quick.
Yeah.
Week one. I mean, Breece Hall's back. Dalvin Cook's there.
Yep.
They have weapons. And if you can't stop that run, man, it's going to be a long night.
If you give Aaron Rodgers time of possession, because he doesn't turn the ball over off, like you really would have to. I mean, I'm not saying he never throws interceptions, but it's damn near not often. So, and if another thing, is Trey gonna be able to cover Garrett Wilson? So all these things are gonna factor in. So they're really banking on the weakest link of the Jets offense, which is the offensive line. So they're really banking on pressure getting through that line.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, I mean, it could be a long day.
Which could be successful, because let's be real. Rodgers maybe is not as elusive as he once was.
So of course not.
Forcing the run, maybe he gets to make some mistakes, or we get to him. But he's still Aaron Rodgers. You know, it was still Tom Brady until it wasn't Tom Brady.
Right.
So same kind of thing applies. Like, still Aaron Rodgers. They're still pretty stacked. Salah's a really good head coach. The defense is stacked. I'm not pumped about this game, really, to start the season.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the team I probably want to play to start.
I think this is the most like uncertain I've been about a week one in a long time. I mean, week one's always the hardest in my opinion, but this
anyone
one
can beat anyone in
week yeah one. And this one's really confused because
it's an important game. Week one,
the yeah,
division game is important,
nationally televised Monday Night Football
against probably Mr. Monday Night. I mean, Rodgers puts out some really good performances on primetime. So
he does.
I'm interested to see how McDermott plans and calls the game defensively. This is his first time calling those plays for the Bills since he's been here pretty much.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think it's the first time.
Yeah. And then how that translates, does that give Dorsey more freedom to really like thrive with the offense? And if the offense struggles, it's really on Ken Dorsey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely. So is it what's going to happen here? Is it going to be an interesting dynamic against a team that you really can't afford to make too many mistakes against?
Honestly, I think if you don't put pressure on him, that's game. I honestly think it comes down to that.
Yeah, I would agree.
If he has time to throw, and if the run game just opens up the passing, like, okay, let's say they run the ball until they can't, right? They tire out the defensive line. And then he starts throwing from the pocket, and the defensive line is worn down, et cetera, this and that. If he has time to throw and time of possession is just completely in their favor, they will lose the game.
100%.
They will lose the game.
100%. There's a real part of me that has thought maybe this team could go 0-2. I'm sure people don't want to hear that, but
to the Raiders?
The Raiders in week two is going to, well, I mean, we'll talk about it obviously next week.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility there that could be a weird game.
I don't know if I'm there yet. I mean, I could see 0-1, but I don't know about 0-2. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. But on the offensive side of the ball, I'm interested to see, because I'm all for the trenches because that's where the game's won. I'm really interested to see how the Bills offensive line holds up against what's supposed to be a top tier defensive line.
Yeah, and they got a new right guard.
Yep.
Cyrus.
Yep.
Right.
He won the starting job.
Put him there. You know, everyone gives Deion some shit. He's still a top, I would say, 15 left tackle in the league, covering the premier pass rushers in the league. And it starts off week one and then goes on from there. So hopefully, you know, he can hold his own.
You know where I know that there's going to be problems or where problems might occur? Ryan Bates versus Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
Because you know that's where he's going to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is a monster.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because, like, we've heard all offseason, you know, Josh doesn't want to run anymore. He can't do this. He can't. There's a very
good chance. He will if he has to.
There's a very good chance that he's running for his life on Monday night. I actually wouldn't be surprised if that's the outcome there. Not because I don't have faith in the line, but I think
there's going to be a week one matchup.
Yeah, there's going to be some pressure, and I think it's going to just take Josh being Josh. Like, we've grown accustomed to him making plays and extending things and doing things that humans on Earth can't do. So I think, yeah, I think he could be running for his life. But I also like, you know, I think they're going to come out and try to establish a run game.
Yep.
Which is as they should, because I think they're talented enough now in that backfield. But can the line protect and make holes for those guys? You know, Cook obviously doesn't probably need as much room to make something happen. And then Damian Harris. I like Damian Harris out there. He's going to be, you know, pretty good too. Red zone guy, him and Latavius. It's just crazy because the one position I'm not worried about is wide receiver.
Really?
No. Even though I'll talk about Gabe Davis and all that shit, like, we're not. We're still Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen.
You know what I'm going to say is going to be a huge factor, even though it's just week one for this game? Kincaid.
Or Knox. One of them has to step up and make plays.
The reason I say Kincaid is because the style of tight end that he plays, he was brought here to be a version of Travis Kelce, correct? And what does that do? That cuts turnovers in half.
Yeah.
That makes plays when plays shouldn't be made. When usually the Bills are in a digs or nothing situation.
Which we've been in quite a bit.
Which could be either a big play or it could be a fumble. It could be an interception.
Yeah.
What that does is that cuts that in half. So, okay, you might not get 15, 20 yards, but you might get 7 when you would have gotten negative 10.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really important in this game. When they take away Diggs, which they can with those cornerbacks, Sauce Gardner, rookie, first team all pro, the man's a baller.
Yeah.
And DJ Reed is also a top 10 corner on the same team. So if you have to, you have to be able to win in the middle of the field. You have to be able to open up the field like that. That's how you have to beat this defense.
Yeah, that's Kincaid. That makes sense. He could be the X factor on offense.
It might be asking too much of a rookie in his very first game on national television, but
or you know what you've gotten him because of how he performs in his first game on national TV.
Or you know what you have in your offensive coordinator if he has one target all game.
That's true. That's true too. You don't waste that pick to throw him the ball once.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you're right. He could probably be a really big factor in that game. I think Deonte Hardy too, being underneath and speedy.
Yep.
Same thing. I think they have, you know, have Cook out flat and, you know, see what he can do catching the ball and maybe making a play. If plays break down, they're going to, you know, tell him to turn back and look at Josh almost every time he's not lined up not to run the ball. I still like our offense. I still like everything about that.
Sure.
I want to see if Dorsey can properly plan for a big game early on.
Yeah.
Because this is – in hockey, this would be a four-point swing.
Yeah, literally.
So.
You're absolutely right.
It's a big game to be the first game of the year, and I don't think we can stress that enough. It's like you don't want to really – you don't want to start against a division team on the road.
Yeah.
It sets your tone for the whole thing.
And I think you said something that's really important. Like you talked about Cook out of the flat. You're going to have plays where the ball's out of his hands very quickly. You can't have those 5-7 seconds in the pocket because that's where they could kill you.
Wasn't Josh one of the fastest last year?
Yeah, he was.
Ball? Okay. So he was pretty quick at getting the ball from what I remember.
Yeah, but I'm just saying to go off of what you said, just getting running backs involved, getting the short pass game involved, is going to be really important. I think it's also important for him to not always look for the big play. I mean, yeah, you have to once in a while, but like
take bust a lot.
Against that type of defense, you take what's given to you every time.
Yeah, so yeah, this will see, you know, that will be definitely a point to bring out Josh too, because Josh sometimes does focus on the deep ball and doesn't think that he needs to check down and doesn't want to make, you know, he wants to make the big play. But this is a game where you, yeah, give what the defense gives you. Dink and doink your way down the field if you absolutely have to. Get points.
You want a great example of that? Patrick Mahomes, all of last season, he lost the most explosive receiver in football, and he had to do it with Juju, Sky Moore,
Tony,
Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That highlight reel that was with Tyreek Hill was gone, but he won MVP and won the Super Bowl because of how he adapted.
Yeah, I think that's where Josh has to adapt.
Yeah.
If there's a flaw in his game, which there's not many, that's probably...
I mean, who do you know that doesn't have at least one flaw?
Yeah. No, because I think Mahomes does. Mahomes, you know, has his flaws, and Rodgers has his flaws, yeah. And they think they got this, like, swagger about him. Even Josh has it, you know, he can't be touched kind of thing. But yeah, Josh has to give what the defense gives him, and that's one of the things that's kind of been inconsistent, I would say, in his career so far. So yeah, this is going to be a really big test, week one. I'm nervous. I fucking hate New Jersey. I've never been there, but I heard they're a bunch of scumbags.
I will say this. The one big thing in the Bills' favor is the familiarity that the Jets do not have with their own team. That's Josh fair. Allen's done this with these guys. Okay, yeah, there's some free agents and rookies in that, but that's every team. But
75% of the teams brought back from last year.
Yeah, so. Especially when a quarterback is new to a team. You even saw it with Brady with the Bucks. I mean, I know they went on to win the Super Bowl, and I'm not saying this is what it is, but in that first week against the Saints,
learning curve,
they got their asses kicked.
Well, and, you know, that same thing. Yeah, there's probably a new learning curve in the system, no matter how many years you've been in the league.
Right.
And he's got Nathaniel Hackett. he can say what he wants about Nathaniel Hackett. Don't talk about my guy, but he has a pretty bad track record here in the NFL.
Not with Rodgers, though.
Yeah.
I know in Green Bay, he was basically like a yes man for the most part. Because LaFleur called the plays and freaking Rodgers, he's going to do whatever he wants. So, but yeah, I know what you mean about Hackett.
Yeah, it's still a wild, you know, that's still a little bit of a wild card. There's a new system and all of that. I hope Rodgers struggles a little bit. We did give him, not this current Bills roster, but the Bills have given Rodgers tough times in the past. I think he had one of his worst games ever.
Well, I know every time when he was a Packer, the Packers won every home game and the Bills won every home game.
Yeah. I saw, I think, too, that McDermott and I think they're 4-2 against the Jets in New Jersey. So they win.
Oh, okay.
They have a better record in New Jersey.
And last year was one of the losses.
Yeah.
When Josh got hurt.
Yeah, and there's still deep down inside, I still think that Robert Saleh has no answer for Josh Allen. The dude had Fred Warner.
I remember that game.
And couldn't figure it out. It seems like Saleh just can't figure out how to stop Josh Allen. He can contain him a little bit, but he can't fully stop him. And that to me is the difference in this game, is not being able to stop.
I think Josh Allen. Would agree with this. The best person who can stop Josh Allen is Josh Allen.
Yeah. Because I don't think there's anyone in the league that can stop him.
Yeah. Another thing,
stiff arms, defensive lineman and linebacker. I don't think there's a guy that can physically stop him.
That stuff scares me though, dude. I mean, like, yeah, it's cool when nothing bad happens, but I mean, you play with fire a lot when you do that.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, I mean,
I know that's who he is. I'm not saying don't change who you are. I know.
We've talked about that a lot. It's something that's come up a bunch in conversation over the last couple of years. It's like, you can't, that's his DNA. He's going to play the game how he plays the game. And the second you tell him not to play the game that way,
then you're in his head. And
then he's overthinking. Then he's making interceptions. He's getting hurt. He's doing, yes, you just let him puke and then do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right. Another thing, I think we're going to see, there's been a lot of talk, especially in the playoffs every year when the Bills are eliminated, is how McDermott coaches in close, crucial games. You could have a playoff game right now in week one. So I think there's going to be a lot of attention to the coaching, especially if they lose a close game.
Yeah, this is going to come down to who's ready, who wants it more, and who's ready.
Yeah.
Preparation is going to be the – I mean, you can say that about every football game, but, like, none more than this one. Like, it's going to be who wants it more, who wants that division win, what coach game plan better for it, and who executed better on the field.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's very possible. Okay, let's say whoever wins this game, one team's going to be 1-0, one team's going to be 0-1. The team who loses could still end up having a way better season than the team who wins, because it's a long season, shit happens, 100%. This, like that. So, like, it could end up being irrelevant. But what if it's not?
Yeah, and you go back to that week one loss against the Jets. And
yeah.
It's like, fuck, that could be the difference between the one seed and the two seed.
Well, or a 1 and a 5.
Yeah.
Because you can't be at 1 and 2.
Yeah, true. Okay. So, and you're also talking about a stacked AFC, which, you know, you got to watch out for the Jaguars this year. You can laugh at me all you want for saying that. But
no,
the Jaguars
not
are
at
a
all.
Real threat.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, if Tua can stay healthy, the Dolphins are a real threat.
The Jaguars could honestly be a top seed because they have the easiest division in the AFC.
Yeah. The Jaguars worry me a lot.
They have no one to beat them up within their own division.
They're playing basically 6 games for free.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's still the Dolphins. If Tua stays healthy, the Dolphins are still a problem, I think. The Patriots, yeah, whatever.
No. Nah.
But yeah, like, you don't want to have to go back and look at week one and be like, damn, fuck, if we would have done this instead of this, or you don't ever want to have to look in the rear view like that.
Right.
And, you know, it's not good.
Because if you're a road wild card in this AFC, I mean, it's going to be tough, dude.
Well, and we've proven we can't go somewhere and win. I mean, let's call a spade, right? Like, the Bills have not been able to go in anywhere and pretty much win. At least Kansas City.
Yeah, and
we need that home field.
Yeah, and even last year when they had it, repossession loss to Cincinnati.
Yeah, which, topic for another day.
I know we talked about all the factors that kind of went into that a while ago.
It still happened, right?
Like, yeah,
so until they prove they can get over this hump, which I think this team can, I think this team is capable of that. I think they're skilled enough, and I think the coaching staff, I still have all the faith in the world in McDermott and those guys. Until they prove otherwise, this could be the year they prove otherwise.
Do you have all the faith in the world in Dorsey?
I don't know.
Want me to ask you again in 8 weeks?
Silence is deafening, right? Ask me again. Ask me again after Monday.
Okay.
Because he's gonna have to put up a pretty good performance.
No, you know what? That's not fair. I'm gonna ask you after the Raiders game.
Okay. Because if we go 0-2,
then it's a problem.
We're gonna break a table or something.
If you go 0-1 in a one possession game against the Jets, then come back and beat the Raiders by 2 possessions at least.
We're good.
Different story.
You come home, you lose the Jets, and you come home and lose home. Now we got to talk about something, because that should not happen. So those first 2 weeks will be really telling on what kind of football team you're going to get. And it could be 2 completely different teams, really. I mean, they could whoop ass against the Jets and lay a dud against the Raiders. Or they could barely lose the Jets by 3. And then, like you said, 2-score game against the Raiders. So, and the Raiders, the only thing I say about the Raiders worrying me is it's week 2. The chances of Jimmy G not being that game are slim. And I like,
you're saying Jimmy G scares you?
Josh Jacobs, Jimmy G, and Devontae Adams do.
All right.
Combined. Jimmy G's more than capable to get the ball to Devontae Adams. And Josh Jacobs can run through anything.
I just don't know. That's just not his style of play.
I know. I know. Call me crazy. I think they lose that Jets game, we should be concerned a little bit.
I want to see how they lose the Jets game, okay, if they lose the Jets game. Fair.
Which, do we have them both? We both had them losing this game.
Well, right? When we did the preview, the season preview, we skipped it because we didn't want to get into it too much because of this
reason.
Episode right now.
And I'm still up in the air. I could flip a coin for the outcome of the Bills-Jets game. And I'd be okay with either outcome, honestly. I know that everybody is going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But, like, it's a division game. It's on the road.
Also, if we predict that they lose, or if one of us predicts that they lose and then they win, don't say we told you so, because you did not fucking know anything.
No.
No one knows fucking anything.
And we don't pretend to be experts. Like, we're not, right? Like, we're definitely
We're in a garage.
Yeah, we're not experts. There's bikes hanging behind me somewhere. Yeah. So, like, we're not experts, and we don't pretend to be. We are the common Bills fan. Like, hopefully 90% of the people listening to us. I would say I'm at a flip a coin stage.
Because the problem is, it's like when they win, it's like, oh, I told you this and that. Well, I don't know why you ever think negative about it. And then when they lose, it's fucking fire everybody.
Well, then that's what happens, right? So we beat the Jets, right? We come up, whoop the Jets.
So you're either winning the Super Bowl or you're going 0-17. Yeah. There's no in between here.
Yeah, because like that's what happens, right? We whoop the Jets' ass on Monday night. We come home and lay a dud against the Raiders. Everyone's like, holy fuck, we suck. We couldn't beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
There's a no win situation always.
Well, it's
the
like
Bills.
Well, it's like last year against the Rams. Yeah, it was an ass whooping when they were raising the banner. Turns out the Rams sucked.
Yeah. Right? They won their Super Bowl and that was it.
Yeah.
They sucked. They were bad. And now this year they start without Cooper Kupp.
They're a mess.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
We wouldn't have to talk about them.
No. We can do prediction at the end of the show. I still gotta think. So I'm at a toss up. I'm literally at a toss up. I don't like that I'm at a toss up either. So
that's fine. You want
to? I think we're good on Jets, right? Like,
you want to take a break from this game and maybe look around the league a little bit?
Yeah, we can do that.
Why don't we start with what's going to be a hot button issue tomorrow? Travis Kelce status is uncertain for the season opener against the Detroit Lions. Hyperextended his knee.
Bone bruise.
They're saying it's a bone bruise. That's right. They said ACL is intact.
Unfortunate.
Wow.
I don't want to wish injury upon anybody.
Jesus,
but like,
Christ.
You're not sitting here telling me if Travis Kelce gets hurt that we're not licking our chops and he's out for the year.
I mean, the whole AFC would be.
I don't ever want to root for anyone to get injured, but it'd be nice.
Well, then, because then you're talking, okay, whoever wins this division is playing Cincinnati for the AFC.
Yeah. I like our chances, right?
Well, do you?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find a lot about this football team this year. They play everybody.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Kansas City, Cincinnati. They play everybody.
Baltimore's in there?
Yeah. Play fucking everybody. We're going to find out what this team's really made of this year.
Definitely will.
But yeah, Kelce not being ready to go, I'm assuming he's going to be out. I feel like there's no way because it's bone. You're not going to get the shot.
I mean, you're not going to – I know it's national television, but it's week one against an NFC opponent in the grand scheme of things. So you can afford to leave him out
and
give him two entire weeks off.
I mean, I'll be frank. I think that the Lions were going to give them a tough time with Kelce in the lineup. So
I think so too. The Chiefs,
they always start off slow. It feels like they start off slow.
Not only that, but like there's always this thought. Well, okay, obviously they just won the Super Bowl, and I never doubt Patrick Mahomes. This isn't what this is about. But they haven't addressed a lot of their issues, and I think there's like we have two rings, we are not that urgent anymore. Like Chris Jones is holding out, they don't really seem to care.
No, and that's a big fucking deal.
They were known for their weapons, and I don't know if they still think like all these guys from before are still on the roster, but they're not. And there's a receiver deficit in Kansas City,
and now they're without their.
And I know they have the best pass catcher in the entire league. And I know they proved it all last year. They could do it without Tyreek. And again, Mahomes is the best thing I've ever seen at quarterback. This has nothing to do with his ability. Do I think he could still win that game tomorrow? Do I think he could still win any game just because of who he is? Yes, I do. But I think there's just been a lot of complacency in the front office of the Chiefs going into this year because they just won last year. And I think they've not addressed a lot of things. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I'm not even saying they're going to lose tomorrow, but they've left a lot of reasons to think that they can lose tomorrow. And if they do lose tomorrow, I don't think there's a reason to be shocked. Detroit has an amazing offensive line, and their run game is probably going to be top five or top three in the NFL with Montgomery and Gibbs. I mean, that could be a nightmare for a time of possession against a defense that's not going to have Chris Jones in the middle. Like, they could have double time of possession on the Chiefs in their own building because of that.
Wouldn't that be something?
I know the Lions defense isn't anything to write home about. I know they have Hutchinson, but I do like the Chiefs offensive line. So as long as they can pass protect, I think Mahomes can at least, if Mahomes has time, I'm not going to doubt much of the Chiefs offense against a poor secondary in Detroit. But yeah, there's definitely reasons to think that Detroit has more than a puncher's chance tomorrow.
When you said too, like what you said about them being complacent, doesn't that remind you of the end of like the Tom Brady era in New England?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they weren't signing guys, they weren't bringing people back. And
it's carrying over to this day.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's why Belichick's probably out soon.
He's doing things that
I'm sure people are going to be like, what the fuck? You don't know anything. But like, the writing's on the wall there
with Belichick.
If this team gets their ass whooped a lot this year, he's probably out. He'll probably retire or whatever. They're not going to
step down.
Yeah. They're not going to fire Bill Belichick. But this could be the last year you see him in New England, and I wouldn't be shocked because he's definitely they got complacent. The same thing happened in New England. I don't think it's going to happen here because you don't have an aging quarterback like you did with Tom Brady.
Right.
But
they will always have a chance with Mahomes. That is
Bills, right? We always say that we'll have a chance as long as Josh Allen's in the lineup. We got a shot. Same thing. You know, the Ravens have Lamar. They got a shot.
You have a top 5, 6, 7 quarterback. You have a shot.
You have a shot every game, no matter what you got going on around you. Chaos could be falling all over the place, and you still got a shot. So,
and this is a great opportunity for Mahomes for people who say, oh, Tyreek made him, or oh, Travis Kelce made him, or oh, Andy Reid made him. I'm sure he's looking at this like, okay, people think I suck without these guys. Well, let me show them what I really can do. Even though I'm 2-time MVP, 2-time Super Bowl champion, only 6 years in the league. I've been in the AFC Championship every year of my career.
Yeah.
But I still have haters. So let me go out and show something.
Yeah. And you know that, you know, Dan Campbell's going to have the Lions fired up, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like didn't the last year, I think the Lions lost more games than anybody by one possession, right?
Yeah,
something like that. Am I wrong? I could be wrong.
Yeah. All I know is for sure that they started 1-6 and then 1-8 of 10.
Yeah.
So
they're believing in themselves and what he's selling. So that's a dangerous team, and you know he's going to be like, let's knock their teeth out, the defending champs on national TV, and they're wounded. Let's go take advantage. You know, pounce on a wounded, be a lion and pounce on a wounded.
Bite bucket. Some kneecaps.
Yeah, like. You know, go after it.
And there's two ways that this can go. There's that, and then it could also hit you like, oh shit, we have expectations for the first time in our franchise's history, and who knows how long.
It could implode.
And we're not used to a nationally televised game. And if we win, it's like, oh my god, look at the Lions; they're going to win their division. So, I mean, knees could get a little shaky for people who haven't been on the national spotlight like that, whereas the Chiefs are used to nothing but this national spotlight. Yeah,
which is good. But you have Jared Goff, who's played in the biggest game you can play in.
He has.
That can
it didn't go maybe, that well, but he has.
But hopefully he can maybe help even out that locker room or that sideline during the game if they're getting a little hyped up or amped up. Like, guys, we've been – like, this isn't the Super Bowl. I've been in the Super Bowl. Calm down, breathe. So, that game's going to be a lot better than people think. It's going to be a really good game to kick off the year.
If they had Jameson Williams to blow off the top, it'd be a little different, but he's suspended. I'm sure Amon-Ra will still have a day, though. He's a great receiver.
This game's going to be close. This game is going to be a lot closer.
I'm still going to say Chiefs win just because.
It's in Kansas City.
But, and Mahomes, I think, has an incredible record in September. He might be undefeated in September. And, Super Bowl champs when raising the banner are like 14-4 or something.
Yeah, what happened last year?
Okay, that was one of the four.
Yeah.
So I mean, you comparing the Detroit Lions to the Buffalo Bills?
No, shut up.
Okay, then.
You know what I meant? Don't be a dick.
but I'm gonna say the Chiefs win a close for comfort game.
Yes, I can agree with that. I think Detroit's going to definitely stick right there. You know, I think it's going to be too close for comfort at home for the champs.
Yeah. Another game I actually kind of wanted to talk about briefly before we do the Bills prediction. Cleveland and Cincinnati. And I know you might laugh at that, but Cleveland's had a little bit of a number on the Joe Burrow Bengals. And Joe Burrow's coming off the calf strain. He said he's going to be ready to go, but like this is first bit of action all year pretty much because his preseason was taken away. Not that he was going to play much in preseason, but at least his camp was taken away because of this.
And he's going to have Myles Garrett
chasing him. With Za'Darius Smith, he's there now too.
Yeah.
And
we're going to find out how, if that was a calf or an Achilles strain real fast.
And they're going to be playing Deshaun in his first full strength season with a whole off season and a training camp and preseason. So massages. No comment. Plead the fifth. Oh shit. Damn it. but I think that's a very interesting game for the Bengals. So like you're looking at both Kansas City. Oh my God. You're looking at the top three AFC teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati with like some, I don't know, type games
really?
in week one.
Yeah. Which if you're sitting here, you're like, okay, this is kind of good. This is shaking up to be decent for the Bills here. This is maybe where you can have a lapse and lose to the Jets. Really?
Imagine if all three are 0-1.
Wild. And then you got like, you know, the Jaguars going to Indy and whoop the Jets, and then Jaguars in first.
Yeah.
And it's like you're starting off real wonky real quick. But, yeah, I'm interested to see the Jaguars game. Obviously because I like the Jags a little bit, but I want to see Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, and
Trevor Lawrence. I think it's gonna be a fun game to watch.
I do think Anthony Richardson could pan out, but I think Indy's doing everything in their power. I mean, not intentionally to fuck this up. Yeah, they have three active receivers. I think
they got no Paris Campbell anymore, do they?
I don't know, dude.
I don't know what the receivers are.
I know they have Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce.
Who?
Yeah, and they drafted Josh Downs. And they got Zach Moss.
He's out.
Oh, he's out?
Broke his arm.
Oh, my God. That's right. Shit.
They don't have Jonathan. I almost said Fred Taylor. They don't have Jonathan Taylor. Who's their running back?
Deion Jones.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Who's that? All right. So Jacksonville's going to win by a lot. So hopefully.
And if they don't, that's another fucking problem.
Right. And that would be the fucking thing. That would be what happens, right? We all lose and New Jacksonville gets fucking smoked. Everyone just gets fucking smoked. All these teams are in first place. All of a sudden,
the Browns are in first fucking place.
That'd be fucked. That'd be so
mad. That'd be so week one, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the type of shit that happens.
Well, yeah, we lost against Pittsburgh, you know? Like, yeah. That's the shit that happens. It just happens. So, I guess prediction time?
Yeah. You go first, I go first.
You can go first. I'm still thinking.
I think this is close. I really do. And I think last possession decides this game. I'm going to go 27-24 Jets.
Now I'm thinking close game, but high scoring just because Rodgers and Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I think 38-31 Bills.
Okay.
I know it's high. Yeah, high
scoring. I think both are fair predictions.
Yeah, I think I actually think the Bills win with like a 2-minute drill and they score a touchdown at the end.
That's their best offense.
The Bills?
Yeah, the 2-minute that's when they play their best offense.
So that's what I think is going to happen. They win 38, basically they walk off 38-31.
I think whoever has the ball with under 2 minutes wins the game. It's really going to be how that's
what I'm saying.
Like I can't predict who's going to have the ball.
Yeah. But. I think if the ball's in our hands we win. If it's in Rodgers, they probably win. It's going to be a very close game, but I think it's going to be high scoring just because of the firepower on both offenses. As good as the defenses are, or could be. I think there's just too much to stop.
You know what I'm going to say this, though? And I want to be very careful how I word this. If the Jets have the ball with under 2 minutes and the game's tied, Jets win. If the Jets have the ball with under 2 minutes and the Bills have a slight lead, I'm not too sure about that.
Okay. I can get behind that. That's not terrible. You got a crazy bold prediction?
Well, like a stat line for someone?
Yeah, stat line. Give me a stat line for somebody. Bills, preferably.
Okay. Oh God, you threw me on this.
Yeah,
on the spot there.
Sorry.
Can I say Kincaid is second in targets?
Okay. Okay. I got Greg Rousseau at 2.5 sacks.
Interesting.
I think he comes out blazing.
Well, he'll probably be seeing Dwayne Brown or Mekhi Becton, I think.
Yeah. I just think he's going to – this is his breakout season.
No, it's year three. It's usually when it is. So,
yeah, I think Rousseau, 2.5 sacks.
Yeah, hell of a time to prove that you're worth a contract on national television.
Without Von Miller on the opposite side of you. Yeah. It's a really good game for him to have a good game. And I'm a big fan of Rousseau. So, yeah.
Well, you've been on him since he got drafted because you always you brought it up to me that he was second in the nation in sacks after Chase Young.
Yeah, everyone forgot about it because of COVID.
Yeah.
But, like, that dude was there. He's bigger, faster, stronger than he was when he played in college. So there's and he's been working out with Von Miller for the last, year and a half, whatever it's been. That's got to mean something for a guy who's got the talent, just now needs to go execute.
And Von wouldn't do that with someone he didn't see potential in.
No, God, no. And Rousseau's just built like an absolute fucking animal. He reminds me of Javon Kearse. Remember Javon Kearse?
Yeah, I do.
Vaguely. I mean, you're younger than me, but Javon Kearse is a freak. But he's like Javon Kearse and somebody else mixed together. It's like a love child of someone who's tall, lanky, kind of freakishly athletic, and maybe clowny.
It's a good one.
But I'm a big Rousseau guy. I think he's gonna have a monster year. So that's all I gotta say. I really hope for the sake of our show next week that Kyer is not inactive this week. Because that's going to have to give us something to really talk about.
Well, if he is and they lose, we're going to have to talk about it.
Everyone's going to be talking about
it. If Garrett Wilson has a field day on Trey White's head, we're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah. And why wasn't Kyer even given an opportunity? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting fucking week.
It is.
Make sure you follow us on social media, 71 Blitz, Ready Set Blitz on Instagram. Am I forgetting anything? I don't know. I'm terrible at this. This was not my. We never did this. We never wrapped it up. It was always somebody else. You can look at us on the back of a milk carton.
Right? Yeah, that was a some shit like that.
So a milk carton and
the white Bronco.
The white Bronco with the bloody prints.
Allegedly. Jersey scumbags.
Aaron Rodgers is.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Okay. All right. And make sure if you need a pizza for Monday night and you're in the Pew area, make sure you call Joey's. Two locations. Their pizza, their wings are phenomenal. Subs. I don't know if I've ever had anything bad from there. So check those guys out. Best pizza in the Pew for sure. Arguably the best pizza in Buffalo.
And if you need something to calm the nerves a little bit, Premier Cigars on Jefferson.
Yeah, for sure. And if you didn't gear up, Buff on Whack.
Look at that. We fit them all in there.
Put them all in there. Buff on Whack, man. Killer gear for the game. You still got time to gear up. You got a few days left. Oh, you're probably not going to get it in time, so fuck. but order for the home opener. Yep. We'll see you guys next week. Go Bills.
All right, table breakers. Enjoy.
Go Bills.